life, in the real life, in which there are a lot of other human beings living around you, you should not be so openly emotional. Sometimes you have to just control it, even if you are feeling it too passionately. Like, as in, when you get in different situations, when you are left to make a decision between two roads, and you take one road, not the other road, and then you come to think about why I did take this road, not that road. This was emotional, but that was logical. Is it good to be logical, or is it good to be emotional?
Yeah, to start with this question, you know, first we're talking about gears, and gears with their own nature, with their own instinct, with their own mentality, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that we need to know as well is that gears are created emotional, like even in Islam.
It's in their nature, actually.
Yeah, exactly. And even in Islam, it is clear. Like,
yeah.
They have mentioned that it's okay for you to have a heart that is sometimes super sensitive to
issues.
That
is beating so hard.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just getting super sensitive. We have seen girls, like sometimes, as you mentioned, crying for, I don't know, for a very small issue.
Or exactly. They watch a movie and then they cry.
Yeah.
And then the other people would poke jokes at them.
Not the other people, the other gender, we can say.
Yeah.
Girls can understand each other, you know?
Yeah.
And it's okay. I mean, the first thing that we need to know is that it's okay for girls to be emotional. And we should recognize our own body, our own brain, our own heart at the same time. Like, we should know that as a girl, I'm sometimes so much sensitive, and it's okay for me. But to answer the question directly, which was, is it better to be, like, logical or emotional? If I want to just, like, answer in an ideal way, I'm going to mm-hmm. say, no, you're going to be logical.
You have to be logical.
Exactly. You should be logical all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Who said your emotions are going to decide for you?
So where can I take my heart?
Yeah. What I'm going to say is that in the real world, when we get back to reality, this will never happen. Like, how can a girl stop her emotions and just
ignore their emotions?
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Even for boys, it's not possible.
Yeah.
We're not going to say that the boys are just like stones. They can't feel anything. Even for them, it's
exactly.
not possible.
See, heart is a thing that has been put in girls and boys. Both of them have got a heart.
Yeah.
So it's wrong to say that it's just for girls. No, but we're talking to ladies. That's
yeah.
why we are just highlighting them. So keep it at this point and remember what you're going to say. Let's go for a short break and then we'd come back to pursue our discussion. Welcome back, Muslim ladies, to your own program. Well, we're talking about our emotions and how to make a balance between emotion and logic. You must figure out how emotional you are and then make a balance between your emotion and your logic. Because as for me, like, I know that I'm an emotional person, excessively emotional. So what happens is that I come to embrace the reality, and then given the chance to be put in such emotional roads and journeys, I would just tell to myself many times that you are an emotional person. Try not to get so overly engaged with everything. I keep repeating that to myself in order to bring myself back to reality. Like, to make sure that there's a logic behind what I do, though I am an emotional person.
Yeah, that really works. Like, acknowledging your own state
mm-hmm.
of mind, a state of heart even, and your ideas.
Yeah.
You know, surely we need the balance, we need the moderation to control ourselves in the emotional or the even logical situation. Sometimes you shouldn't be that much logical.
Exactly.
Like, imagine something, God forbidden, imagine something bad has happened, and then if you want to be logical, you're going to just stay and stare at the person
mm-hmm.
who is, I don't know, in trouble, for example.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need our emotions, and it's okay. It's even
yeah.
good. in some situations to be logical.
See, it's a faculty, an ability, I don't know, a skill, something potential in you that is going to help you so much. It's nothing to harm you, but if you let this wild horse ride so wildly, then that's going to be dangerous. But if you try to learn how to rein it in, how to control it, then it's going to work for your benefit. And it's going to be a blessing.
Exactly. And that's why women like men in Islam are encouraged to use their intellect and reasoning abilities, like logic, in making decisions and navigating life's challenges. Like women are also advised to keep into consideration that they need to be reasonable, they need to be logical, while they are recognized with their emotional status as well. Like, it is clear that they can act emotionally, but they need to think well, they need to consider the situations, then decide.
Have a double thinking.
Exactly.
So also in Islamic heritage and in the narrations of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, we have a lot of quotations and a lot of narrations that address women as flowers, delicate flowers. With this analogy, everything is actually clear that women are such delicate creatures that they have to take care of their own delicacy, like their own sensibility and all their senses. And there must be a balance between their logic and their emotion. Not that emotion is a bad thing, no. On the contrary, I just said that they always address women as flowers, like these delicate creatures. So it makes it perfectly clear that our emotion is our weapon, actually, but we have to use it in a logical way.
Exactly. You know, even in the Quran, Allah has referred to the heart of people as a processor of information, particularly concerning the emotions, which attracts the attention to the relationship between the mind and the heart. Exactly. Like, the heart is playing this big role in our even everyday life. And that is even in Quran, it is mentioned that our heart is the source of fitrah, the source of the feelings that we can get from God.
All the intuitions that we get are coming from our hearts directly.
And we have even Allah himself, like, with clear pictures, with clear vision. We have God himself in our heart as well. That's why it's kind of sometimes leading our life.
Yeah, but the fact is, just as we were just talking about it, the fact is to keep it in moderation. Like, try to watch it out. Do not let it go so wildly, because then that would affect you or maybe harm you. Just that we got into this point, I would like to know, what are the occasions in which we as women, as Muslim ladies, have to control our emotions, like try to be much more logical? What kind of occasions are there for us to control our emotion that is going to be blissful for us to be much more logical? But before that, we have to go for a break and then come back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
So, coming back to the question I had before the break, by the way, you're listening to Muslim Ladies, your own program. Welcome back, all the ladies who are listening to us, and thank you for staying with us until this very last part of today's episode. Coming back to that question, have you ever said to yourself that from now on, in this occasion, you just stay logical? Yeah, you forget about your emotions. You turn it off, and then you become logical.
I guess all girls have thought about this a thousand times, even every day.
On a daily basis.
But, you know, to answer this question, to go through the occasions at which we need to control ourselves, I'm going to continue. Do you remember the Quranic quote that I had in the previous part, which was about the heart being the processor of information, the heart being the place, the source of
the center of intuition.
I'm gonna just continue that, and I guess the rest of that verse is gonna answer our questions as well. It is mentioned that heart is the place that our fitrah comes from, but when this heart becomes ill with greed, jealousy, hatred, ego, and temptations, it loses its fitrah. You know, I guess the things that are sometimes threatening our heart, threatening our emotions, are these cases. Like, women sometimes act based on their ego, sometimes jealousy, sometimes greed. In different situations, based on these kinds of feelings, we start to overact. We start to lose our control.
Yeah, in their judgments, even, yeah, I would say. I guess if we just forget about our emotion in some occasions in which we have to give analysis about other people.
Yeah.
Like, in which we have, just imagine you as a successful lady who is running a business. Just imagine if somebody comes to you and you do not turn off your emotion and then you hate that person.
Yeah.
What would happen to you? Of course, you would just reject them. Just because personally you hate that person.
Yeah, it's my feeling, but I'm going to control it. Yeah. I'm not going to act based on it.
Though I have to say that us as women, we have this powerful and a strong intuition inside of us that when there's an impulse that tells us something is wrong, most of always something is wrong. Yeah. Really, something is wrong. But then again, just try to keep this as a side note to yourself and do not act according to it. That's what I would say.
Yeah, exactly. And women are, I guess, the best critical thinkers. They can analyze each situation pretty well. They can act accordingly very well. And they can even control their emotions. But there are some very, we can say, even rare moments that we explode. Like, we cannot control that emotion.
The volcano.
These situations can be controlled by the knowledge, by the information, by our use of power. You know,
we are powerful. And it's a skill, you know. You have to learn it by time.
Yeah. We need to be trained over this. We need to have the information, practice it a lot, and then come to one point at which we say, I can control myself even in this situation.
Yeah. I am too emotional, but I'm strong enough to handle it.
Yes, and this is the very moment that we see ourselves in our true self, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The one that is not being affected neither by emotions and nor by any negative feelings or negative thoughts.
Yeah, but then, again, I have to say this point that without emotions of these ladies, then there would have never been such a thing, such a word as mother. Like, this word connotes to many feelings, to many other words. Like, it starts to look like a dictionary. Like, the word mother itself can lead you to many other words, like kindness, passion, sacrifice. Like, every beautiful concept that you could ever see in this world comes from these motherly passions that we all have experienced in our
definitely.
Lives. So emotions are, I guess, the center and the source of a strength for women. But the only thing that they have to do is to know how to make use of it, is to know how to control it and how to overcome this overreacting, as you just mentioned, and to just rein it in. This was all. Thank you, Sister Naheed.
My pleasure.
And thank you, dear listeners. Until another session, I leave you to God's never sleeping eyes. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Divine Month. Mojen is a summer resort in Iran's Semnan province. People in Mojen are really interested in the holy fasting month of Ramadan and value this month a lot. From a few days to the holy month, they prepare to welcome the divine month. Women start cleaning their houses and do spring cleaning like they do in Nowruz, the Persian New Year. They wash their carpets and dust the house. Everyone in the families passionately clean their houses. By the way, women in Mojen prepare mud like Nowruz and rub it on the walls of their houses. This old tradition is very lovely and pleasant. The smell of mud and hay fills the neighborhood and reminds me of the mood before Nowruz. It's really pleasing to the eye to watch the houses with fresh mud on the walls. Our small family joins hand to do the chores for the holy month. Like other women in Mojen, my mother and grandmother make dough a few days before Ramadan and make taftoon bread for the entire month. They also bake various types of bread like kak and shirmal during the holy month as well. Taftoon can be preserved for a longer time. That's why they bake it in large numbers. In the past, women in Mojen used stone and wooden mortars to prepare rice flour. You can still find the mortars in most of the houses. My grandmother still uses a wooden mortar to make rice flour. Even though nowadays you can find electric grinders in most of the houses, women in this region say making rice flour with these mortars gives you a special feeling. One of the traditions among women in Mojen before the holy month is to use henna. They believe that they should put some henna on their hands before the fasting month for health and beauty purposes. They also believe that praying with henna-dyed hands during Ramadan will bring more blessings. Women gather in groups and go to someone's house every day. They put henna on their hands in elegant ceremonies. Religious poems add to the elegance of the ceremonies. Before the sunset, women in the houses prepare Ferni pudding, rice soup, sersho ash, local halva confectionaries, taftoon bread and kak and local vegetables and welcome the first iftar or breaking the fast. People usually eat tahchin and a kind of rice and vegetables named suchlu for sahur or the morning meal before the morning call for prayer. After the Ramadan moon sighting and the start of the first night, men sing out loud in groups in the alleys before sahur. It's an old custom to wake people for the morning meal and to prepare for the morning ceremony. The head of the group sings beautiful songs to glorify the Creator. Every night, one of them sings out the poems. The singing ceremony is held in Mojen Alleys every night of the holy month. The Allah Dost ceremony is one of the ceremonies that culminate the Qadr nights. People who have wishes go to the houses of those who hold Qadr ceremonies, and the organizer of the ceremony gives some votives to the guests as a blessing. The guests will make a vow to God that in case that their wish is granted, they'll pay back the organizer of the ceremony what they have promised. After breaking the fast in iftar, there are special customs for Qadr nights, including putting the Quran on head and reciting the Joshan-e-Kabir prayer in a special mood in most of the mosques and prayer rooms in Mojen. Gradually, people prepare to welcome the auspicious Eid al-Fitr. On the eve of the Eid, the families who have recently chosen a wife for their sons take gifts like clothes, shoes, and chador to the house of the bride to congratulate the Eid al-Fitr. A few people from the groom's family decorate the trays of gifts and the bowl of henna and carry the trays to the bride's house. The bride's family invite a person called Grandma Esti, hold a ceremony, and welcome the groom's family. Grandma Esti is an old woman who has been invited to the bride's houses from old days. People say getting gifts from Grandma Esti brings good luck and blessings. After the gifts are unveiled, the participants sing songs about the henna ceremony and put henna on the bride's hands and congratulate her on the Eid al-Fitr. Finally, Eid al-Fitr arrives. Women spread the Eid cloth early in the morning and put special food like halwa, local bread, cholezad, and Iranian rice pudding on it. Our family sits around the food cloth and break their fast with the food prepared for the Eid. They go to the mosque in the neighborhood to say Eid prayers.
In the limelight.
Doctors at the University of California, San Diego's Health Trauma Center have treated 455 patients with serious injuries sustained whilst trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border in 2023. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. A federal judge has sharply questioned the Biden administration's position that it is not responsible for housing and feeding migrant children while they wait in makeshift camps along the U.S.-Mexico border. Recent media reports have shed light on the harsh conditions at sites along the border, where people waiting for processing by U.S. immigration authorities live under open skies, or in tents, or in structures made of tree branches. The camps are often short on food, short on water and sanitation, relying on groups of volunteers to distribute aid and basic supplies. Border Patrol does not dispute the conditions at these camps. Rather, the question at issue is whether these people are in legal custody, which would start a 72-hour limit on how long children can be held and require emergency medical services and guarantees of physical safety, among other things. At a hearing in Los Angeles, California recently, the U.S. District Judge Dolly G said evidence presented by migrant advocacy groups appeared to support the definition of legal custody. She asked, are they free to leave the camp? Fiza Batul, an attorney for the U.S. Justice Department, answered, as long as they do not proceed further into the United States. U.S. District Judge Dolly G, who was appointed by Bill Clinton, acknowledged it was complicated, like dancing on the head of a pin, because some children arrive on their own at the camps and are not sent there by Border Patrol agents. U.S. District Judge Dolly G did not rule after the half-hour hearing. Advocates are seeking to enforce a 1997 court-supervised settlement on custody conditions for migrant children, which includes the time limit and services such as toilets, sinks, and temperature controls. Children traveling alone must be turned over within 72 hours to the U.S. Health and Human Services Department, which generally releases them to family in the United States while an immigration judge considers their case for asylum. Asylum-seeking families are typically released in the United States while their cases wind through the courts of law. The legal challenge focuses on two areas in California, one between two border fences in San Diego and another in a remote mountainous region east of San Diego. When the number of people crossing the border was particularly high last year, they waited for several days to be arrested and processed by overwhelmed Border Patrol agents. From May to December, agents distributed colored wristbands to prioritize who to process first. Migrant advocates say Border Patrol agents often direct people to the camps, sometimes even driving them there. Agents are often seen nearby keeping a loose watch until buses and vans arrive. The Justice Department, which rejects advocates' label of open-air detention sites, says smugglers sent people to these camps. It says agents giving them water and snacks is a humanitarian gesture, and that any agent who sends or even escorts them there is no different than any law enforcement officer directing heightened traffic to avoid disorder and disarray. Brent Schwertfeger, a senior official in the agency's San Diego sector, said in a court filing, Border Patrol generally arrests people at the camps within 12 hours of encountering them, down from 24 hours last year. The agency has more than doubled the number of buses in the San Diego area to 15 for speedier processing. On Friday, 29th of March, 33 people, including two small children, waited between border walls in San Diego until agents came to ask them to empty their pockets, remove shoelaces, and submit to weapon searches before being taken in vans to a holding station. They were primarily from China and India, with others from Afghanistan, the Republic of Azerbaijan, and Georgia. Border agents spoke to them in English. Pedro Rios, a volunteer with American Friends of Service Committee, delivered turkey sandwiches and hot tea and coffee through spaces in the border wall. He gave pain relievers and ointments to a limping Chinese woman who had fallen from the wall. Doctors have seen a startling rise in injuries related to the border wall, with one San Diego trauma center treating more than 440 patients with serious injuries in 2023 alone. Kellyanne William, a 38-year-old, said she left a 10-year-old daughter with family in Jamaica because she could not afford the journey, including airfare to Mexico, but that asthma would have made the trip difficult for her child anyway. She planned to apply for asylum and settle with family in New York area, having fled her home after family members were killed last year. Kellyanne Williams said she attempted to reach the camp on Wednesday, 27th of March, but fled back into Tijuana in Mexico to avoid Mexican authorities in pursuit. She tried again a day later, waiting 6 hours on U.S. soil for agents to pick her up for processing. The website Reddit has also covered the same story and tells us more. Doctors at the University of California at San Diego's Health Trauma Center have treated 455 patients with serious injuries sustained while trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border in 2023, a marked increase from the previous year. Alexander Tenorio, a resident neurosurgeon at the University of California, San Diego, who treats brain and spinal cord injuries, said 97% of the injuries, or 441 of them, occurred when people fell off the wall on the U.S. side of the border with Mexico. The figure captures just a part of the number of people injured while trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border near San Diego. The center is one of two major trauma centers in the region. Migrants with injuries perceived as less severe may not make it to a hospital, and children are not included in the data set. Still, they highlight the extensive and growing human toll of the border crossing. In 2022, the trauma center recorded 311 injuries relating to people scaling the wall. In 2021, it recorded 254 injuries. In 2020, there were 92 injuries, and in 2019, there were 42 injuries. Tenorio said a lot of these patients come with fractures all over their bodies. Unfortunately, and that's what you would expect if someone falls 30 feet from a wall, it's like a three-story building. Dr. Tenorio said the patients arrive at the trauma center with broken limbs, abdominal organ injuries, facial injuries, and spinal fractures. Dr. Tenorio said a lot of these injuries unfortunately don't heal on their own because they're so severe and extensive. He added, a significant number of patients end up undergoing emergency craniotomies or spinal cord surgery. Of the patients who underwent these spinal cord surgeries, Dr. Tenorio said, only 14% came back for a clinic visit, making long-term outcomes difficult to assess. In 2023, Dr. Tenorio said, the center for the first time saw more women than men admitted to the hospital for border-related injuries, including falls.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من، این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
نقیم الدین ولا تتفرقوا فیه.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. 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 کتاب
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah. Salamun alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, and salam to this day. Wednesday, 1st of Shawwal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 22nd of Farvardin, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 10th of April, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar, accept our congratulations. Happy Eid, Eid Mubarak everyone. This is today's special.
We'll be right back.
We offer our congratulations to all of you, and we ask you to listen to chapter Ma'idah from the Holy Quran, verse 114.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قال عيسى بن مريم اللهم ربنا أنزل علينا مائدة من السماء تكون لنا عيدا لأولنا وآخرنا وآية منك وارزقنا وأنت خير الرازقين.
Said Jesus, the son of Mary, O Allah, our Lord, send down to us a table spread with food from the heaven, to be for us a festival for the first of us and the last of us, and a sign from you. And provide for us, and you are the best of providers.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
All supplications mentioned in the Quran begin with Rabbana, O our Lord. But in this verse, it has begun with two words, O Allah, our Lord. This difference may be for the importance of this miraculous happening of the concerning consequences. To celebrate a festival is a proper action from the point of the Quran. The birth of the friends of Allah and the mission of the Messenger of Allah is not less than the descent of the table of food from the sky, so we must always learn things from the signs of Allah and His power.
Praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Eid Mubarak, everyone! Eid al-Fitr, as it follows the fasting of Ramadan, is also seen as a spiritual celebration of Allah's provision of strength and endurance. Amid the reflection and rejoicing, Eid al-Fitr is a time for charity, known as Zakat al-Fitr. Eid is meant to be a time of joy and blessing for the entire Muslim community and a time for distributing one's wealth. Charity to the poor is a highly emphasized value in Islam. The Quran says, "Believe in Allah and His Messenger and give charity out of the sustenance that Allah has made you heirs of. For those of you who believe and give charity, for them is a great reward." Muslim brothers and sisters all over the world, congratulations to you on Eid al-Fitr.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, today we are going to talk about the philosophy of Eid al-Fitr. Eid al-Fitr is considered as an important day in religion. It encompasses specific acts of worship that undoubtedly must be performed in a manner expected by the sacred lawgiver to achieve its purpose and end. Eid al-Fitr is counted as one of the four major Eids of the Shia school of thought. Imam Hadi alayhi salam mentioned in a narration regarding the number of Eids of the Shia, saying, "Innama al-a'yadu arba'atun lil-Shia: al-Fitr wal-Adha wal-Ghadir wal-Jum'ah." Shias have only Shias have four Eids, Fitr, Adha, Qadir, and Friday. Considering that the words of the Imam are founded on wisdom, the first Eid mentioned among these is Eid al-Fitr, perhaps suggesting that since Eid al-Fitr is the reward of fasting, it holds the first rank among the Eids. And Eid al-Adha, the reward of financial piety, comes next. Similarly, Eid al-Ghadir, the reward of accepting the imamate and wilaya of the imam, and Friday is the day that heralds the advent of the last successor. Fundamentally, Eid, from the religious perspective, differs from the common understanding among people. In the common understanding, Eid is merely about visiting each other, distributing sweets, and being joyful. However, from a religious standpoint, Eid has a much broader and worshipful significance.
Children are wearing new clothes, bright colors fill the streets. Their faces full of laughter, their pockets full of sweets. Let us rejoice indeed, this is the day of Eid. Let us rejoice indeed, for this is the day of
Happy Eid, Eid Mubarak. And now you are with today's special and ways to celebrate Eid. Ahead of the festivities, prescribed ritual needs to be followed to show thankfulness to Allah the Almighty. The day starts with the declaration of the greatness of Allah, which is known as Takbir. Allahu Akbar. It is followed by the preparations for going out to the place of prayer. Taking a bath or ghusl is recommended on Eid. It is important to cleanse and purify your entire body, put perfume on the dress in one's best clothes. It is recommended to wear the finest clothes in line with the tradition of the companions of the Messenger of Allah. May Allah bless him and his family. The Eid prayer is observed out in the open if weather permits, with a special supplications said the Eid greetings exchange between the believers. Before the commencement of Eid prayer, it is obligatory for all Muslims to pay a donation called Zakatul Fitr.
Eid Sa'id, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Eid Sa'id, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Celebrate, let's celebrate. Allah, Allah, thank you for this day.
Eid Mubarak, everyone. And come here to listen about Eid al-Fitr in Ahadith, Traditions of the Imams. Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, peace be upon him, looked at some people who were happy and left. Then he turned to his companions and said, God the Almighty created the month of Ramadan as a field for the competition of his creatures, so that through obeying Allah they excel each other towards his happiness. Some excelled and won, and some left behind and lost. That it is so surprising one who is frivolously playful and laughing on the day the good doers are rewarded and those who fall behind the loss. By Allah, I swear that if the whales are removed, the good doers will engage in his good doing and the evil doer will be taken captive in his evil doing.
After observing a 30-day fast, the disciples of Jesus Christ approach him with the following question. The conversation is mentioned in the Holy Quran in Surah number 5, verses 112 to 114. In verse number 112, Allah says, إِذْ قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ يَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ هل يستطيع ربك أن ينزل علينا مائدة من السماء؟ قال اتقوا الله إن كنتم مؤمنين. The disciples of Jesus عليه السلام, they ask him, O Jesus, son of Mary, is your Lord able to send down upon us a table spread from heaven? Jesus عليه السلام says, Be conscious of God if you are indeed believers, meaning do not doubt the power and the omnipotence of your Lord. In verse number 113, the disciples reply, Allah says, قَالُوا نُرِيدُ أَن نَأْكُلَ مِنْهَا وَتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُنَا وَنَعْلَمَ أَن قَدْ صَدَقْتَنَا وَنَكُونَ عَلَيْهَا مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. They say that we wish to eat from this food, we wish to gain the spiritual blessing of consuming heavenly food, and we want our hearts to be tranquil, we want to witness this divine miracle. In verse number 114, Jesus عليه السلام, he makes that famous supplication. The Quran says, قال عيسى بن مريم اللهم ربنا أنزل علينا مائدة من السماء تكون لنا عيدا لأولنا وآخرنا وآية منك وارزقنا وأنت خير الرازقين. عيسى عليه السلام says, O our Lord, send down upon us a table spread from heaven so that it can be an Eid for us, for the first of us and for the last of us, and a sign from you, and provide us, for you are indeed the best of providers. Brothers and sisters, if you examine the Holy Quran, you find that there is only one verse in the Holy Quran that explicitly mentions Eid, and that is Surah number 5. Verse 114 in the dua of Isa alayhi salam. And you find that in the context of the Holy Quran, Eid is a day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals signs to us to bring us closer to Him, to have us return to Him. And you find that linguists actually say that the word Eid comes from the verb which means to return. As human beings, we often stray from the straight path. We often veer away from the path of God. And you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite mercy, He gives us multiple opportunities to return to Him.
We express our congratulations, thousands of congratulations, to each one of you, dear brothers and sisters, all over the world. Eid Mubarak, and please keep us in your supplications and your prayer. Thank you and have a nice time.
يا رحمن يا رزاق يا غفار يا قهار يا وهاب يا توار يا رحيم يا عزيز يا سميع يا بصير يا لطيف يا خبير حليم يا عظيم يا كبير يا حفيظ يا وكيل يا قوي يا متين.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Thank you. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says Israel must be and will be